Hi, Jim.
Come on back to the garden, Kate.
I'm on my way.
Oh, hi. Want some fresh tomatoes for dinner?
Oh, super. Jim, I came to apologize.
For what?
You know for what, for the way I acted last night. I was rude.
You weren't rude. You were quiet.
I know, Joe. I wanted to do something nice and have me to dinner, but then surprise me with David. It isn't going to do any good to throw David Sloan at me or me at him.
Kate, Joy and I have watched you for a long time. 8 years now, to be exact. And with some worry. We know what you went through with Tom.
Yes.
And because of that trouble, Joy's afraid you're not going to find it so easy...
to get a husband?
To do whatever you want to do in life.
Do you think that too, Kim?
I'd like to see you settled.
There's something I have to do first. I have to learn who I really am. And if I make mistakes, then I'll have to live with them.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
What a job. Do you have to go through all of Arthur's papers?
Oh, I'm afraid so. There's one thing I don't understand about this study of his.
What's that?
Arthur was the most orderly man I ever knew.
Yes.
Nothing was ever out of place. When he asked me years ago to be the executor of his will, he said I'd find everything precisely as it should be. Well, look at these files.
Oh, I don't know anything about them.
Not a paper in place.
But you have his will.
Oh, yes, yes. That was in the safe with the deed for the gift of land to the town, which you both signed over.
For Tom's memorial.
Well, it won't be Tom's memorial now. That's settled.
Well, thank heaven for that. That whole miserable scandal won't be raked up now.
I hope not, for Kate's sake. She deserves a second chance. I thought she stood up to Arthur's death very well.
Kate will always stand up to trouble. Now, though, she seems to be living in a vacuum.
Why not? She's been in a cage. Let her find out the door is open.
I told her that.
Maybe she doesn't want to be told.
I found that out, too.
Isabel, I've known Kate since she was a youngster. She's always had plenty of spunk. Mm-hmm. She also had an older sister. Joy must be 10 years older, at least. Joy was considered the pretty one.
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, Henry. Kate has bones.
Oh, I trust we all have.
Bone structure, no. Henry, is the foundation of real beauty.
Oh, all I was about to say is that Joy went off and married her doctor. By the time Kate went to high school, her father had died. And Kate had to work pretty hard to help her mother out. Mm. She never had much time to think about herself. When Tom began taking her out, it was a new life.
And nobody warned her?
What could anyone say? That Tom was all looks, no weight? Mm. Besides, Arthur thought she'd be good for Tom.
Well, she was. If she hadn't stood beside Tom...
And what if she left today? I'd give her right arm to free that girl from the past. Fortunately, she doesn't know how bad it was.
What do you mean?
Well, let's just say Tom's trouble was more serious than Kate ever knew. It won't help to go into it now. But I say let her alone. Let her figure her own way out.
Anybody home?
Oh, we're in here, dear, in Arthur's study.
Hello.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, Kate.
Here are some fresh tomatoes from Jim's garden, Isabel.
Mm.
Am I interrupting?
Not at all, my dear.
David called. He's coming over this evening.
Oh, he's a brave man.
Why?
Because I treated him badly last night. In fact, I treated everyone badly. All I've done today is apologize.
Never explain, never apologize, my dear. Unless you're sure you're wrong.
Oh, I don't think I was wrong, but I don't like to hurt people's feelings.
What about my feelings?
Isabel, have you hurt his feelings?
I've tried. I can't make a dent in them.
It's my sense of competence that's damaged. I came over here, Kate, to go through office papers, and I can't make head or tail of it.
Oh, I guess that's my fault.
Your fault?
The day Dad went to the hospital, I came in here. You never saw such a mess. The file drawers were open, papers everywhere, on the desk, on the floor.
Could anyone have been in here?
No, it looked more as if Dad had been searching for something, but I couldn't leave his study like that, so I stuck everything back in the file drawers.
Well, what do you suppose he was after?
I don't have any idea. Oh, wait a minute.
Huh?
When I was putting things back in the file folders in the drawer, I saw an envelope. It was lying flat on the bottom of the drawer outside this folder. I wonder... Here, let me see. Here it is. Dad's written a name on it. Stephen Wolfe.
Who's Stephen Wolfe?
I never heard of him.
I'll take it, please.
Well,
do you know anyone named Stephen Wolfe?
I may.
It was under the file folder on Tom.
Leave it to me, Kate.
Could it have something to do with Tom?
My dear, I'll take care of it. Forget about
play the piano, David?
I constantly surprise myself. Nice of you to see me, Kate.
I'm always glad to see you.
I didn't get that impression last night.
Let's forget last night.
After you've apologized?
Henry told me never to apologize and never explain.
I must have a little talk with Henry. How does he feel about spanking?
You wouldn't dare.
I would if you ever ignore me like that again.
Joy brings out the worst in me sometimes.
You take her too seriously.
What was he thinking of, trying to surprise us as if you and I were a couple of high school kids on a blind date?
Not a bad idea.
Well, I'm all over it now.
Oh, no, you're not, Kate. You're all uptight. You're fighting everybody these days. I can't say I blame you.
I don't mean to be like that, fighting people.
You should.
No, because they're not fighting me. That's the trouble. I feel as if I'm standing in quicksand and everybody's trying to... push me down with kindness.
Oh, honey.
Don't be too nice, David.
Where's Isabel?
How do I know?
Good.
David, What a kiss.
I thought it was about time.
Oh, my.
That is to put one little rock in that quicksand you're standing in.
Well...
You know, I haven't been hanging around for merit, babe.
You've been such a wonderful...
Now don't say it. I may be a friend to dogs and horses, children and old ladies, but to you, I hope...
You're not making things any simpler.
I'm not trying to. Kate, I'm in love with you.
Oh,
you're too smart a girl to be surprised. Now, I'm not asking you how you feel about me.
I'm not sure I could tell
you. You could, anytime you want to, but I don't want to hear it just yet. Now, I'm not asking for anything. I'm just stating a fact. I love you, Kate. Well, now I've said it, I wonder why I waited so long. Now, where shall we have dinner?
All this and dinner, too.
No limits to my good nature.
David, I am touched, honestly.
How about the Green Gate?
Wonderful. Oh, just a second. Hello. Oh, yes, this is Kate. Oh, Tony, no, I didn't recognize your voice. Yes. Thank you. The flowers were beautiful. Tomorrow? I don't know. I know it's silly, Tony, but I just don't... I don't know. I'm sorry. Goodbye, Tony. David...
It's okay, Kate. Shall we go?
If I had a nickel for every minute I spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Van Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Van Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Van Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Van Roll-On, so economical yet so effective. Faces of Love has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. The Serial Network.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
Good morning, ladies. Or is it afternoon? I was at my desk writing all night, and I've quite lost track of time. Yes, I am, as you know, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. You will recall that dear Amelia Sedley and Lieutenant George Osborne, meeting for the first time in years, looked upon one another, exchanged 3 words each, and fell in love. Dear listeners, do I hear some of you saying you don't believe in love at first sight? Oh, then alas, you are of a cynical turn of mind. You must take my word that it happened, and in this case, did happen. Now those two are in the morning room and have begun to talk like ordinary persons. More's the pity.
You've changed, George.
You've changed, Amelia. Your father sent round a note.
I know.
Gad, to think I mightn't have come.
Oh, to think. Oh, Papa isn't here, I'm afraid. He had to go to the stock exchange.
Oh, jolly good. I'm sorry. What Miss Pinkerton hath wrought.
What?
The note. It said, come round and see what Miss Pinkerton's academy hath wrought.
Oh. Oh, how could Papa say such a thing?
If he hadn't, I would. Oh, you've changed, Amelia.
You've changed, George.
You used to be...
fat, I know. And you used to be...
spotted.
Perhaps I should let Papa tell you, but I can't wait. He hoped you'd be agreeable to go into the Royal Gardens tonight.
With you?
Yes.
Agreeable. Wild horses couldn't prevent me.
Oh, thank you. There's a special reason for going. I've a dear friend from school visiting, Becky Sharp. And
you'll come along?
With my brother.
I say, old Joe's back from India.
And I think in love with Rebecca.
Oh? And how does Rebecca feel about Joe's?
Oh, she's very taken with him.
With Joe's? You don't say.
Next week his leave is finished. He'll have to go back to India. Papa hopes, we all hope, tonight in the beautiful gardens he'll propose to Becky. Oh, I want you to meet her. She's upstairs. I'll run and fetch her. You'll dearly love her.
No, impossible.
But you haven't met her. How can you know?
I can love only one. How you've changed, Amelia.
You've changed too, George.
Ladies, I can say without fear of contradiction that Amelia's heart has been in a perpetual flutter during the whole of that rather repetitious conversation. Upstairs now, it must give our Becky quite a pang to hear of the glittering, slim young officer below and to compare him to Cumbrous Joe Sedley she has set her heart, nay, not heart, set her mind on marrying.
Oh, Becky, the way George looked and looked and looked at me.
Dear Ellie, I know how he looked, for I see how you look now.
He said, oh, I can't remember what he said, but he said it.
I know what he said, nothing, and everything with his eyes.
They're blue, his eyes.
And yours are stars.
I remember one thing he said, that he couldn't love you. I had said he would. Because he could love only one. Oh, Becky, did he mean me?
You silly goose, of course he did.
Wild horses.
What?
He said wild horses couldn't prevent his being with me tonight.
He doesn't stammer like those, does he?
Becky, when I left him just now, I couldn't help it. I put out my hand and touched his sleeve.
Did you now?
I can still feel the gold braid on his uniform. Becky, will he think me too bold?
No, my moonstruck Emmy. Right this minute, Lieutenant Osborne himself is touching that sleeve with fingers all a tingle because your little hand was upon it.
Oh. Becky, how do you know such things?
I don't know how I know, but I do.
Come, meet him.
Wait. Emmy Joseph hasn't come or you'd have told me.
How selfish I am, chattering only of me. No, he hasn't. Not yet. But it's all arranged about the gardens. The four of us and...
He's gone half past two. He's not coming, Emmy. It's only an excuse that he's ill. You found George, but I've lost Joe.
Ladies, call to mind how Becky lay wakeful last night, planning how the flowers of the royal gardens would bring forth the flowering of a marriage proposal. And what of Joe's? What were his thoughts? We shall call upon him shortly.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra Rich Cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Obese Joseph Sedley did not lie awake all night thinking of Miss Rebecca Sharp. No passion could ever interfere with his appetite or his slumber. But before drifting off, he did think as follows.
Made a dead set for me, Becky Sharp did. I say, what a sensation she'd make in India. A smashing beauty, plays piano, sings like a nightingale, speaks French better than the Governor General's lady. Dad, I might go farther and fare worse.
During that meditation, Joseph fell asleep. It's one thing to boast and fancy oneself in the dark of night. In the light of day, it's quite another matter. All this day, Joseph has stuffed himself with food to find courage to face that shining young girl ever on his mind. Now, at last, 4 o'clock it is, he arrives, naturally in time for tiffin, at the Sedley house. Let us see if, once again, Rebecca can put Joe's at his ease.
Oh, Mr. Jones, how I have suffered all day.
You're ill, Miss Rebecca.
Oh, no, I'm quite well. I've suffered because you suffered. You were ill.
Oh, I say.
How brave and courageous and strong of you to come out.
Yes, quite. In declining health, but came.
As brave as Napoleon.
Here, now that fellow, brave as Lord Wellington, not that Napoleon.
Oh, dear. How could my tongue have slipped like that? I meant Lord Wellington. Of course I did. Please say you forgive me, or I shall never forgive myself.
Yes, forgive him.
I couldn't. No, I daren't say it. You'd think me bold.
Speak up, Miss Sharp, speak.
Who could refuse you anything? I was about to say, after I said that dreadful thing about Napoleon, that you removed a great weight from my heart when you forgave me. For I couldn't bear it if you thought less of me.
Yes. Well, don't think less, my dear, upon my honor. Now then, is it time for tiffin?
Rose, you're here. Where in the world have you been? Well, never mind, you're here. Has Becky told you about the royal garden?
No, Emmy. He's been so ill, I wouldn't dream of asking him to go.
What? What garden?
We were all going, and George Osborne. Now we can't.
Certainly going, by George, certainly. Did you say George Osborne?
He's here. He's in the music room. Go fetch him, Jose. Go this minute.
Oh, yes. Good old George.
I wanted Jose out so we could... Becky, what have you done? And so quick, not a stammer or stutter, and he agrees in an instant to go to the garden.
I'll tell you what I've done. I have caught a butterfly in my net.
What a fat, fat butterfly.
The fat butterfly is assuredly caught. Nets, however, can break. Come, join me tomorrow and let us journey together to the royal garden. Your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
The Author's Studio has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This is the Serial Network.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
Hi, Fred. Come on in, neighbor.
Hi. Where's your Lord Master?
Oh, he'll be right down. I told him dinner was ready. He's taking a shower. He played tennis with Bill Fraley after work.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to play last week, and he said he'd forgotten how. It's been so long.
It has been. Well, if you mentioned tennis, I guess he got interested again. Have a cookie. I just baked them.
He said he didn't even have a racket.
No, he didn't. He went out and bought one on his lunch hour, I guess.
He asked me to go with him when he bought a racket, since tennis is my hobby.
Well, I don't know, Fred. It all happened so suddenly, I guess. After all, Bill's in the same office, and I suppose I got to talking about tennis.
So he goes out and plays with Bill Fraley, huh?
Well, I guess it was just one of those impulsive
things. I don't care. I just think it's kind of funny, that's all.
Well,
listen, if he doesn't want to play tennis with me, I don't care.
Fred, for goodness sake, you're so good at it, he probably just wanted to brush up a little so you wouldn't be too bored playing with him, you know.
Yeah? Well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, I don't have to wait until he's out of the shower. I just came over to get the extension ladder.
Oh, sure, it's in the garage, usual place. Help yourself.
Thanks.
Excuse me, can I get in the cupboard here?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. About the ladder.
Take it. You can borrow it. He's not going to be using it tonight. I know it's all right.
Well, actually...
No, Fred, take it. I know it's all right for you to borrow it. Good heavens. It's over at your place half the time, anyhow.
Well, what does that mean?
Oh, nothing, Fred. I just meant the ladder goes back and forth so much it doesn't matter. Take it, for goodness sakes, you don't even need to ask.
Yeah, well, that's the point. I don't have to ask because, as a matter of fact, it's my ladder.
What?
It's my ladder, it is. I'm the guy that bought it.
That's your ladder, Fred?
Look, it's not important. It's just that when you said I could borrow it, that I didn't even need to ask, that I thought I would mention that it is my ladder, that's all. Let's not make a big thing of it, okay?
Well,
I don't mind your borrowing it, okay?
Look,
just tell your old man I'm taking it home, okay?
Well, wait a minute. Fred? Wait a minute. I think I hear him coming downstairs now. Maybe you two ought to talk about the deer. Dear Fred, dear.
Nothing to talk about. I'll just get my ladder.
Hey, were you running the hot water? I couldn't get any in the shower. There I stood, all soaked up, and then suddenly the water dribbles off to a trickle.
No, I'm sorry, dear. Yes, I washed some baking dishes, I'm afraid.
Well, you knew I was taking a shower.
I forgot. Can't you get somebody to do something about the pipes or whatever? It's very inconvenient not to be able to get hot water upstairs if somebody's running something down here. People are always getting trapped in a waterless shower.
I don't know. I'll probably have to have the water pressure checked again. The house probably needs all new pipes, which we certainly cannot afford right now.
Well, I know.
Hey, wait a minute. There goes Fred taking our ladder again.
Well, he was just here. Oh, you know what he said?
No, how would I know? I was upstairs taking a shower, or trying to take a shower.
All right, if you don't want to hear what Fred said, dinner is ready, so...
No, what did Fred say?
He said when I said he could borrow the ladder that he didn't even need to ask, he said he knew he didn't because actually he said it's his ladder.
His ladder?
That's what he said. I said, why no, Fred? I'm sure we bought that ladder.
Well, we did. I did.
I know. I said, didn't his ladder get run over by a truck or something in his driveway?
Yeah, right. Years ago, shortly after we moved in.
Yes, in fact, isn't that how we met Fred? Didn't he come over here and ask if we had a big ladder he could borrow?
No.
The first time we met him, he came over to borrow something else. Lawnmower. Power drill? Something.
No, just name it and you'll be right. Always borrowing something.
Well, dear, you like Fred. He's a good friend. Actually, he's a little upset, I think, because you played tennis today with Bill Fraley.
Well, I just mentioned it this noon to Bill Fraley, and he said, let's go out and buy you a racket on our lunch hour and play after work.
That's right, huh?
You know, people who get their feelings hurt over every darn thing are really pains in the neck.
Well, yeah, but look, Evie is a good friend of mine. Now, you try to get along with Fred. So just playing tennis with him this weekend.
Okay, but I'm going to get this ladder thing settled.
Well,
this is
right.
Definitely our ladder.
That is true. Well, let's eat dinner, We're having lamb patties, and they get cold and tallow so fast.
Look at him out there, cutting off my ladder.
Can we eat?
Fred!
Oh, don't start something now. Dinner is all ready.
What's all this about the ladder being yours?
Can't you two talk
it
about this after dinner?
It just happens to be mine. Well, that's crazy. I bought that ladder before we even moved out here.
Look, dinner is ready. There are times when you and Fred act like 9-year-olds. Now let's eat. Where are you going, dear?
To the attic.
Dinner will be stone cold.
I'm going to look up our old bills. I know darn well I bought that ladder at Caston Hardware before we even moved out here to the village. I know darn well it's mine.
You going to break up a friendship over a silly ladder?
It's the principle of the thing. I know that ladder is mine, and I'm going to prove it.
Thank you.
threw them out. You threw them out?
Yes, I did when I cleaned the attic. I saw shoebox after shoebox of old bills and invoices, 10, 15 years old, and I thought, why are we saving all this junk?
Well, now, you know why.
Well, dear.
Every single time you go on one of your throwing out sprees, the next day, that's the very thing we want.
Well, I have to admit that's true. But I did not throw out the canceled checks, and I keep those downstairs here in the old desk in the den. Now, let me look. Have you any idea when you think you bought the ladder?
Well, I don't think I bought it. I know I bought it.
All right. When?
I remember. You had fallen off that rickety kitchen stool and sprained your ankle, and I said you needed a decent step stool. And when I bought you one, I also bought the big extension ladder. Now, let's think back. When would that have been?
November 25th, 1964.
What? How can you possibly remember
Very
that?
Very simple. It's my birthday. That's when it happened.
Right. I forgot that was your birthday.
Yeah, you usually do. Look in that box. 1964, November.
June, July, September.
Yeah.
October.
Aye.
November. Here we are.
Listen, wouldn't it be better if you did not make an issue out of this?
November 1964. Yeah. Here we are. Casson Hardware.
Yeah. Listen.
4267. I didn't know the extension ladder cost that much, did it? It was more like 30.
You don't know what that 4267 is for. It could have been paint or peat moss. You know how you are in a hardware store.
But I know I bought the ladder there, though. I could call them tomorrow. Maybe they could trace it back. Look through old records, see if one of the employees remembers.
Heaven's sakes, 10 years ago?
I know. That's my ladder.
Maybe you should just call Perry Mason.
Who? Oh, very funny.
Well, I don't think it's funny. Our dinner is stone cold. You made a mess of the attic up there, and I spent a week cleaning it. Now you're about to break up a 10-year friendship over a crummy ladder.
It's not a crummy ladder. It's a good, solid aluminum extension ladder. And it's mine, not Fred's.
Could we have dinner now? Come on, now, let's go out to the kitchen. I'll heat up everything again.
Don't understand, Fred.
Well, I don't understand you. Don't you understand that Fred only brought up his ladder business, really, because you hurt his feelings when you played tennis today with Bill Fraley instead of Fred?
I think that's pretty childish.
Fred would give you the shirt off his back.
I don't want the shirt off his back. I want my ladder.
Fred's very touchy, but you're very stubborn, honey. Now, why can't you be big enough to let Fred think it's his ladder? You both use it. Even if it cost $100, what price friendship?
Well, it's the principle.
The principle.
Yeah.
You and Fred squabbling over a ladder. And we wonder why the Arabs and the Jews can't kiss and make up.
Well, now, look, I didn't start all this.
Well, you finish it, then, because I'm friends with Edie, and I cannot cope with a situation where I have to remember you're not speaking to her husband and he's not speaking to you. It just takes too much out of me to remember I'm mad at somebody. Now, I simply... Now that I got dinner hot again, there's somebody else dropping over. Must be Mrs. Harper. Come in! She's stopping by to pick some clothes for the rummage sale.
Mrs. Harper. Me.
Oh. Hi, Fred.
Hi.
Hi.
About the ladder. Evie says she's sure it's yours. I was wrong.
Oh. Well, frankly, Fred...
We had just decided we were wrong and that it is your ladder. Didn't we, dear? Actually, I said if there's any question, why don't you boys give the ladder to Evie and to me? The wives will own the ladder and we will let you both use it. How's that?
Well, that's fine.
Now maybe we can eat dinner. I'll heat it up again.
Oh, you played tennis today, huh?
Yeah. I took your advice, got myself a new racket, but boy, am I rusty.
Have trouble with your backhand?
Backhand, front hand, legs, arms, elbows, and after 3 minutes, I feel I've climbed Mount Everest.
What kind of racket did you get?
Oh, come on out to the car. I'll show you.
Oh, good.
Getting dinner on, dear.
Why don't I get my racket? We'll volley a bit in the backyard here, huh?
Yeah, let's go over to your place. It's flatter. So many rocks here.
I'm putting dinner on the table, dear. Now, come on now. The lamb patties aren't any good, you know, when they're cold. Dear? Oh, where are you?
I'm showing Fred my new racket.
Well, I'm going to eat dinner.
Yeah, that's fine. You go ahead and eat, dear. I'm just going over to Fred's for a few minutes.
Oh, a few minutes. I don't know why I even try to make you a nice dinner.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net. The first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
things in life has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This is the Serial Network. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
I'll just get these dishes out of the way so we can sit down and enjoy our coffee and brandy.
Well, can I help?
Oh, absolutely not. After cooking such a spectacular dinner, you deserve a rest.
Yes, it was excellent, wasn't it? He said modestly.
Superb. But Lord. Here, Marshall, would you mind putting this on the coffee table?
Oh, sure. Shall I pour?
Oh, please do. Oh, I think I have some fruit and cheese.
Oh, no, thank you. Remember, I ate for two.
Jennifer will be sorry she was asleep. She loves anything fun and unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was a lovely idea, Marshall. You're bringing over the dinner and cooking it. Thank you.
No, not at all. I enjoyed it much more than if we'd gone out, and it did give me the chance to give you the explanation that I really do owe you.
I told you there's no need to apologize.
Angela, I really think there is. You see, when you first came to me with Emily's problems, I felt from the way you described them that you were,
well,
overly concerned.
I was very worried.
I know you were. I could see that. But I felt that there weren't enough serious symptoms to indicate such an extensive battery of tests as a complete neurological examination would necessitate, you know?
Marshall, look, I've been a nurse for a good many years, and I'm certainly aware of what's involved. So surely you can understand that I wouldn't dream of subjecting my sister to the exams if I didn't think it was absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I see.
I'm frightened by what's happening to Emily. These outbursts of temper and hearing things that aren't there.
Did Jason describe to you what this past episode was?
Well, as best he could. He said that Emily complained of hearing the most terrible banging sound in her head, like drums.
Mm.
Then it went. Almost as fast as it came.
Well, we'll see if the test can shed any light on what's causing it. Is Jennifer going to be staying with you while Emily's in the hospital?
No. Tonight's visit was just a temporary arrangement to give Emily a chance to rest.
Oh.
When she checks in next week, I'll move in with the whole family.
Oh, isn't that taking on quite a lot?
Not really. Susie will be a big help, and, well, I'm very fond of Emily's family. They're practically like my own. Only I have the best part of it.
Oh?
Well, you see, that's one of the advantages of being the old maid aunt. Emily does all the work, and I get all the fun. Well, I guess maybe I wasn't cut out to be a homemaker anyway.
I'd say the opposite was true, judging from the looks of your apartment.
Thank you. I like it.
It's very personal and warm, like you.
Oh, I'm flattered.
You know, somehow you just don't seem like the cold, professional type one would expect in a career woman. My daughter thinks you're the greatest thing that ever came down the pike.
Oh, now those couldn't be her words.
No, they're mine. The way she put it was, you're something else.
I never could figure out what the youngsters mean by that.
Oh, come on, take it as a compliment. It means you're cool, heavy.
Uh-oh, I'm not so sure that's a compliment. I bet she's a lovely girl, Marsh. I always enjoy being with her when she's visiting Susie.
Yeah. She's something else, too, isn't she? I guess she's the most important thing that ever happened to me. Say, may I use your phone?
Oh, certainly. Shall I go heat up some coffee?
No, thank you. I have to be on my way. My wife and daughter will be bursting with the riotous account of all the events at Cousin Ernestine's baby shower. One of the advantages of being male, you are automatically uninvited.
Mm.
And also, I want to stop in and see Emily on my way home.
Emily? At this hour?
Yeah, I want to check to see if she's still at... Oh, Jason, hello.
Yes. It's Marshall. I'm just about to leave for home now. I thought I'd drop in and see Emily on my way. I'd sort of like to check on her stitches. Fine. I'll see you in about 15 minutes then. Okay. Goodbye.
Jason could have looked at the stitches.
Well, yes, but I put them in. I want to admire my handiwork.
Marshall, you've been level with me so far tonight.
Oh, Angela, now please don't worry. I just thought I'd drop in and have a look at her on my way home.
You're more concerned than you're letting on to me, aren't you, Marshall?
Well, I...
Not just about her hand.
Well, that too, but I... All right. I will be honest with you, Angela. We both know the real problem is a lot more long-term than that.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen.
Me.
And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Can I come in, Mother?
Of course, Susie.
I was afraid you might have dozed off.
No, honey, I'm not very sleepy. I've been resting all day.
Oh, what's your reading?
Oh, just a nothing novel. I didn't feel like anything heavy tonight. How was your date?
Oh, okay.
Just okay? I thought you said Eric was groovy.
Only Eric thinks Eric is a living end.
Oh, and I thought you were getting serious.
Well, the only love affair Eric will ever have is between himself and his mirror. I mean, like, you know what he said tonight?
Mm-mm.
What? Are you ready for the big compliment? He said, "You look great tonight, Susie. Your sweater looks great with my jacket." I mean, really. There's more important things in a relationship than just being color coordinated. Well, I'll let you get back to your reading.
Oh, Susie, Angela's coming in the morning to bring Jennifer home. Would you help her with the breakfast, honey?
Well, I can do the whole thing myself.
Well, I know, dear, but it's a lot to ask.
I'm perfectly capable.
Yes, and I appreciate it, too.
Well, then why does Angela have to come and stay when you're in the hospital?
Well, she doesn't have to. She volunteered to take over.
So did I. In fact, it might be good practice for me.
Now, Susie, this is your last summer to have any real fun. Next summer, you'll be working and getting ready for college in the fall. But I thank you for your concern, dear.
Did you think I didn't care?
Well, of course not, but... You haven't said too much lately to me, and... Well, I guess it's my fault. I put the gulf between us, and then every time I try to bridge the gap, I seem to widen it, don't I?
Well, that's partly my fault, too, I guess.
I was angry with you, Susie, but I was wrong in letting my temper get the best of me. When I slapped you in the drugstore... Well, I just wasn't myself.
I guess you thought I deserved it.
No, I didn't.
Then why?
I don't know, dear, but it wasn't because I don't love you. Can you believe that?
Well, I know you must love me, but sometimes I don't feel that you do. Well, anyway, it's kind of late to talk about it now.
But we will talk again.
Mom, Dad said you not to worry about anything. We'll get it all together. Just give me a little more time, okay?
Of course, darling. We have all the time in the world.
Emily?
Oh, come in, Marshall.
Well, Jason's in the library, buried up to here in papers, so I just came on up. How are you, Susan?
Oh, fine, Dr. Foster. Well, I'll leave you two alone. Is Betsy still up, Dr. Foster?
No, I don't really know. I didn't come from home.
Oh, well, I'll give her a ring. Night, Mom.
Good night, darling.
And don't worry about breakfast. And Angela and I will have everything under control.
Good night, Susie.
Night. Well, you didn't have to stop by so late, Marshall. Miss Dickens could have waited until morning.
Oh, well, I told Jason I was on my way home anyway.
Now, let's just take a look.
All right.
Say, mine looks good. Is it still hurting?
No, it itches.
It'll pass. How do you feel otherwise? You look fine.
Well, I've done nothing but rest for the last 24 hours. Marshall, Jason told you about the headache, didn't he?
Yes, he mentioned it.
I figured that's why you were here.
Oh, I just wanted to stop by now because I may not see you before the tests begin.
And?
And I wanted to reassure you that while they may have been unpleasant, they're nothing to worry about.
I'm not worried about the tests, Marshall. I'm worried about the results. And I think you are, too.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
To Have and to Hold features Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, William Redfield as Marshall. Also appearing were Vicki Vola, Rosemary Rice, and Ariana Munker. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca. Written by Richard and Suzanne Holland and Susan Seeger Cabrell. And brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This is Ken Roberts. This is the Serial Network, a division of DCA Productions.